Hi, and thank you for listening in to the New Song Podcast from this week's service. You are welcome and encouraged to join us at 10 a.m. on Sundays in person. And for more information on how to get involved with New Song, go to newsonglouisville.org and follow us on social media. And now for today's message.
But I just haven't been able to get past. Started really with one message and wasn't sure I was going to preach anything further. And then came back last week with another message on this theme of our current cultural confusion. So this week we're going to go for part three. Are you okay with that? And some of you have said this has really been good and insightful and helpful, and you've really encouraged me there. So let's dive in. One of the scriptures God has put upon my heart that I think is such a precious and powerful scripture is Jeremiah 6:16. And wow, this scripture has just come to mean a lot to me recently. This is what the Lord says: stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls. This is the heart of God for his people. Amen. And there is a path, and it is an ancient path. And as I was walking the paths in Boston Common this week, you know, just interesting to walk where so many have walked. George Washington and so many others that are famous in our history have been right there in those very places. God has a path, and it's a good way. And if we'll walk in it, there's rest for our souls. But you'll notice the people of Israel said, but we will not walk in it. And today, this scripture is, for me, probably one of the most insightful into where our culture has drifted, because our culture has drifted greatly. Isaiah 5:20 and 21 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. There was a headline of a newspaper here in the U.S. that said here not long ago, has there ever been such a moment of cultural confusion? In Jeremiah 6, it even says that, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, not at all. They were not at all ashamed, nor did they even know how to blush. These scriptures are just being lived out in our day, in our time, in the midst of all the confusion. And if you haven't listened to the first two parts of this series, please go back and do that. The first message, we just showed how self-devotion or self-absorption, pride, right? The original sin leads to idolatry. Idolatry leads to rebellion. Rebellion leads to confusion. And with confusion comes rebuke, madness, blindness, shame, disgrace, and every evil thing. So this morning, I want to talk a little bit about the signs of the times, just some signs of our times that point to the current cultural confusion that we in America are experiencing. And I think this is why it was so precious to me just to be there in Boston Common, to walk those paths from ancient paths, from a different day and time when there was a seeking after God, and just to be asking God, do it again, God. There's this powerful scripture in 1 Chronicles 12:32, and maybe you've heard it before, maybe you're familiar with it. It says, the sons of Issachar had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. These sons of Issachar, it's very interesting because they were culturally, spiritually, emotionally tuned in, if you will. They knew what to do. It says they not only understood the times, but they knew what to do. I think for us, it's important that we put some time and effort into understanding our times. But it's not simply enough to understand our times. I think the more you and I look at our times and kind of study what's happening in culture, you know, there's just almost an overwhelming sense of need, a burden that'll almost crush you. And it's not simply, you know, understanding the times for sake of understanding the times, but it's asking God, what do we do in the midst of such times? What do we do? What is the appropriate response? God, what is your response to the midst of a culture that is so greatly confused? And I want to say this morning, we've got to be like the sons of Issachar. We should even pray, God, give me that spirit of the sons of Issachar. Give me the understanding of the times, just like you gave to the sons of Issachar. And Lord, don't stop there. Give me a heart, a spirit, a mind to understand what to do in response to it. Yeah. We must be like them. We've got to understand the times. And by the way, this isn't just Old Testament stuff, okay? Jesus very much talked about understanding the times and the importance of that, but he had to talk about it in somewhat of a negative light because his disciples and those around him weren't getting it. And again, we don't want to miss out, right, church? We want to be tuned in. Matthew chapter 16, verse 3, Jesus says, you know how to discern the face of the sky. You can look up in the sky and you can tell that it's getting ready to rain. You can tell the signs of the weather, right? But you cannot discern the signs of the times. Something a whole lot more important than just knowing whether it's going to be a sunny day, a rainy day, a cloudy day, whatever. There's a discerning of the times that I think God wants us to be tuned into. In the book of Revelation, this phrase is repeated over and over. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. How many of you want to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, to the bride, in this day and time? It's so important, guys. When we hear the voice of the Lord, we'll know how to respond appropriately. We'll know how to prepare our hearts. We'll know how to live, Joe, in a rhythm. I love that word, rhythm. We need to be living in a rhythm of the spiritual disciplines, a rhythm of intimacy with God, a rhythm of seeking His face with all of our hearts so that we are tuned in, dialed in, and we don't miss what God is doing, and we're fully prepared. And I'm going to kind of show you some things here along the way. So let it not be said of us what Jesus had to say about those around him in Matthew 16:3, that they didn't understand the times. Let us be like the sons of Issachar, discerning the times, discerning what God's doing right here and right now. I read lots of statistics. I follow Barna and Gallup and all these different pollsters and all these different statistics. I read this stuff obsessively. I'm a student of the church and I'm a student of the culture. Sometimes I read things and I just plain shake my head. Listen to this one. You might be among the 47% of Christians. 47% of Christians who in 2019 reported that it was wrong to share your faith with other people. This report from the Barna Group may astonish you. The research shows that this particular group surveyed, the millennial population, were more likely than even non-Christians to strongly agree that it is wrong to share one's personal beliefs with someone of a different faith in hopes that they will one day share that same faith. Now, just one of many, 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 and we'll cover a couple of more here in our message today, signs of the times of just confusion, even entering into the church. I want to give you five signs of the times and how to respond also. The first one is simply this: seduction. And this one's huge, this one's big, this one's important for us to get our arms around today, and it's a good starting point for us. We live in a seductive time. Most of the time we think of seduction in terms of sexual stuff. I'm talking about your spirit, your soul being seduced by seducing spirits, by lying spirits, by just the pervasive lies of the enemy that are kind of covering our culture in such a way that in all honesty, we're buying into something that is not based on the truth of God's word. 1 Timothy 4 says this, 1 and 2, it says, "Now the Spirit of God, expressly says that in latter times," and we're in latter times, "some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits." Do you notice that? Deceiving spirits. Did you know there are deceiving spirits at work in the world today? Come on, church, amen? Is that what God's word says or not? Am I preaching to the right audience this morning? You guys awake? There are deceiving spirits at loose and at work in the world today. There are doctrines of demons. Did you know that demons have doctrines? They have teachings. They have well-devised, cunning lies that they are trying to perpetuate upon society, the members of society, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Latter times, some are going to depart from the faith. They're going to give in to the deceiving spirits and the doctrine of demons. And those are people are going to speak lies in hypocrisy, and their own conscience is going to be seared with a hot iron. Wow. That's a pretty concerning time, wouldn't you say? How many of you think that might be the time we're living in? Seduction. This is huge. Again, I'm going to throw out some things along the way just to show you that it's happening. It's not just happening in a culture. It's happening in our church. Check this out. More than 49% of practicing Christians agreed with the statement. Now, this is not unchurched people, right? These are people sitting in our pews in our churches across America, right? 330,000 churches in America. Praise God for that. But look at what's happening. Almost half, right at half. Practicing Christians agree with the statement. All people pray to the same God or spirit, no matter what name they use for that spiritual being. Can I just say to you, church, Allah is not Jesus. Buddha is not Father God. Thank God. And you can just go on down the list, right? But half of Christians are saying something that's so foolish and so off track and so not biblical. How did that happen? On our watch. We got to get centered in truth. We've got to be anchored in truth. Maybe you heard this story. I'm going to tell you a story. There's a Christian author and blogger named Glennon Doyle. Maybe some of you have heard of her. Sometime back, she married soccer star Abby Wambach after divorcing her husband of 14 years. She found out he had cheated on her. So she turned around out of retribution and started up this lesbian relationship. Now, listen to this. This is so perverted and weird and strange and just typical of our culture. Now, her ex-husband is supportive of her relationship. And get this. Here's where it gets shocking, right? Glennon Doyle, she still teaches Sunday school in her church. And here's what she says. God was fine with all this because he just wants me to be happy. Can I just say, seduced by a lying spirit, adopting a doctrine of demons, not being anchored in the truth. I'm telling you, there's so many people around us who are confused, seduced, and deceived. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not speaking at all with any hatred toward anyone. More, quite honestly, I'm speaking with a heart that is concerned and broken for those in need around us, those who've lost their way, those who have been deceived. Here's the thing about deception is when you're deceived, you don't know it. And Lord, may we be protected from being deceived our own selves. There's a way to do that. We'll talk about that. Now, Matthew chapter 24, it's called the Olivet Discourse, and it's a powerful passage of Scripture, right, where Jesus shares a number of the things that are going to happen in the last days. He kind of just pulls the curtain back, and he shares a whole lot of things, and I'm not going to read the whole passage. You can go back and read that, and you probably have, but I want to show you one repeated theme. In fact, it's going to be the most often repeated theme, the single most important theme of the whole passage that Jesus shares about the end times. The single most discussed thing from the lips of Jesus about the last days is this: deception. It's the defining trait. Deception, 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 deception. It's the defining trait in what Jesus has to say in Matthew chapter 24. Let's look at it real quick together. And Jesus answered, verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one, what? Deceives you. Verse 5, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will, what? Deceive many. Verse 11, then many false prophets will rise up and what? Deceive many. Then verse 24, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to what? Deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you beforehand. Jesus kind of accentuates it at the end. Look, I've told you that deception is going to be prevalent in the end days. So look for it. Be anchored in truth. Do not compromise the truth. Study the Word. Be in the Word daily. This has been a theme of mine for all 30 years of pastoring this church. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, be diligent, be diligent, be a worker, be approved to God. Present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study the Word, study the Word. It's your anchor of truth that will stop you from drifting in an age of deception. How many of you can say amen to that? Number two sign is going to be stress. Stress, and I bet if we did a little poll here this morning, and I were to ask you how many of you have been stressed, most of you are going to say, yes, I've been stressed. I have a little form I have to fill out for a coach in my life every week. And one of the things is, do I have a normal stress level, or do I have a high stress level, or do I have a low stress level? Almost every week I've been putting on there, I got kind of a high stress level. It's concerning. It's become almost the norm for us. We're living with so much stress in these days. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 says this, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times, let's stop there for a moment. Perilous times are stressful times. Perilous times equal stressful times. And let me just say, stress increases in society when godliness decreases in society. It just gets more stressful. When Tracy and I were in Colorado here a few weeks ago, the precious people we stayed with, they had a 40-acre ranch out in the middle of kind of nowhere. And they said to us as we were checking in that first night, they said, there's no need to lock the doors. And it hit me at first. I'm going, wait, what? Huh? What? No, what do you mean? Well, there's nobody around and nobody comes and you can leave your car door open. In fact, they said, both of our vehicles, if something happens and you need one of them, the keys are in them and they're open. And I'm just going, what? Are you serious? Do you know what happened if I left the keys in my car open in my neighborhood? How many of you ever get that little app that kind of has different neighborhoods? Next door. You know, sometimes it'll come up, you know, and I've watched videos of young people going throughout my neighborhood and in the middle of the night checking the cars to see whether they're open or not. And my neighborhood's a pretty good little neighborhood. Stress. Know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. I would tend to say we live in maybe the greatest time of stress ever, that anxiety levels are the highest they've ever been. I think you can even find that. You can find that research prior to COVID and after COVID. Those levels have just increased exponentially. And it's interesting, isn't it? It says they have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. Can I just say that's kind of the definition of what we might just call dead religion. I don't know about you, but here's one of the things my heart is set on. And I would hope as your pastor, it's what your heart is set on too. Lord, I want everything you have. Everything you have for me, Lord, I want. I deeply desire it. Years ago, when I was in a different type of church, I remember fighting a battle against even people that I loved and respected who disagreed with things like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit. They couldn't get their hearts or their minds around that, and quite honestly, they had decided to kind of camp out on the position that was just of the enemy. And I remember in my own heart having to get to the place where I just overcame all that fear and all that confusion and just said, God, here's bottom line. I want everything you have for me. And I do not believe, Lord, just like your word says, that if I ask you for a piece of bread, you're not going to give me a scorpion. One of the passages says that it says, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, man, I wanted the Holy Spirit's power and presence so much. I still want the Holy Spirit's power and presence so much every day in my life. Sometimes I wonder, church, why are we so hesitant to really deeply desire all the things that God has for us? We need, you know, I teach that there's one baptism, but there's many fillings. You have that one moment where in desperation you're crying out and you've asked the Lord to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, and that'll be a memorable moment in your life for sure. But let me tell you, subsequent to that, you need many refillings. Just like the early church. They were baptized, there's no doubt, Acts chapter 2. But Acts chapter 4, guess what? They're getting refilled afresh. Because to live it out, folks, we got to have frequent refillings. Amen? Why are we so hesitant? May we not be hesitant. Kanye West. Our current cultural confusion. I'll never forget, just a couple of years ago, you know, I was rejoicing and I was excited because here a kind of a cultural icon, an incredibly creative force, Kanye West, had had a true conversion experience, and he had a thing going on called Sunday Services in Los Angeles, and he had a pastor who was preaching the gospel. I mean the undiluted gospel, okay? Not getting up, putting on a show, doing anything along those lines. He was preaching the gospel. And not only was he preaching the gospel to hundreds and hundreds of people that Kanye was bringing in, he was spending time every week mentoring and discipling Kanye himself. And Kanye came out and said, you know, since a little boy, I've struggled with pornography, and God's helping me overcome. He put out one or two albums that were Christ-centered. I downloaded one or two of those. I've listened to several of those songs. And now all of a sudden, something's changed. And as of recent, here's some of what Kanye's been saying. I am God. This is my kingdom, and I am God. I don't know what happened to my brother in Christ, Kanye. I don't know what happened, but somehow, some way, deception has entered in. Would you pray for him? Please pray for him. Lord, I want everything you have. I want your Holy Spirit's power in my life. Our response to the stress, our response to the anxiety is to receive the life-transforming power of God, to turn from those who reject it and say, bye-bye. Those who have a form of godliness but deny its power. Number three, sorrow. This is another interesting one, right? Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 24, and you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. We sure do that, right? I think I told you recently, I heard that there's 22, at any given time, there's 22 different wars being fought around our world. You only know of one or two, probably, but there's a whole lot more. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famine, pestilences, and earthquakes. Boy, we hear about those a lot, don't we? We all went through a pestilence here not long ago, right? In various places, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Notice that word? Isn't that an interesting word? All these things are increasing in frequency and intensity. We got to understand that. In the last times, it's just going to be, there's going to be a lot of sorrow in the air. There's going to be a lot of concerning and difficult things that are happening to the human race, and it's going to increase. And now Jesus is saying to you and I, don't be rattled. But there's going to be a sense, a soberness, a seriousness, a difficulty, an increasing sense of difficulty. People are going to become disillusioned. He even says, Jesus says, I've told you about these things, right? They're going to happen. So don't let it harden your heart. And whatever you do, don't let your love for God grow cold. In these times, because people are going to, in verse 12, is that people are going to become disillusioned. They're in a sense going to throw their hands up, if you will, in the air and say, this is just too much for me. But be careful, because you and I, we've been forewarned by the Lord himself. Now, it's really interesting, because what follows this Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter 24, where he's pulling the curtains back and revealing so much of the end times, is really important for us to get our arms around. What follows it? Anybody know, right off the top of your head? The parable of the virgins and the parable of the talents. Let me just say, I'm running out of time, but let me just say, the parable of the virgins is really important for us to study, for us to understand. And one of the most important things that you can get from that is you've got to be storing up your own oil. You can't count on anybody else to give you their oil. It doesn't work like that. I can't come to my wife and say, honey, you've been spending time with the Lord. I've seen you in the mornings, you know, you got your cup of coffee and you got your Bible and you got your journal and you're over there praying in the Spirit. And I mean, you're dancing in the kitchen and man, you're full of joy and Jesus has been ministering to you and it's been precious and powerful to watch you and you've just been drinking of the living water and Jesus is just radiating through you, honey. And it's so powerful to watch you. Could you give me some of that? How's she going to do that? Through the laying on of hands? Lord, impart some of that to my husband, would you? You know, and I'm going to be over there, woo, woo, man. I just got the joy of the Lord. I just got some of Tracy's oil. I just got some of that good stuff. Now, a lot of cool things can happen through the laying on of hands. Don't get me wrong. But I can't get her oil. She's the one that stores up the oil. She's the one that prepares her heart. She's the one that's watching, preparing, waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. And when the day comes, and if I haven't prepared, I can't go to her and buy some of her oil. Please sell me some oil. No, doesn't work that way. Neither does it work that way in the parable of the talents. What you did with your talents, what you did with your time, your treasure, your talents, it counts. This counts. This day, this time counts in God's kingdom. If we're not so busy, you know, maybe some of us are so busy doing non-kingdom, non-eternal things, we'd understand what's going on. And we'd know how to respond. We'd have the time. We'd have the time to be the hands and the feet and the heart of Jesus to a sorrowful, turbulent, broken world. Jesus is so right when he says the laborers are so few. Powerful what Jesus follows that up with. Prepare. Really, the message is clear in both, right? In both the parable of the virgins and the parable of the talents. Prepare, wait, watch, and work. This is the occupy till I come stuff, right, church? Be busy about my business until I come back. And don't let the master come and catch you unprepared and not watching and not working. Number four is scoffers. 2 Peter 3:3-4 says, knowing this first, that scoffers are going to come in the end days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things, they just continue as they were from the beginning of creation. This Jesus is coming back stuff. Jesus is the soon coming king stuff. This is crazy. How can you believe that? Once before in the history of humanity, scoffers willfully forgot and they ignored and they didn't pay attention. And guess what happened? For the very first time in all of human history, rain came from the sky and it brought judgment and it flooded the whole earth. Judgment came. Rain had never fell before. And it fell on all those scoffers. And can I just say, today there's not rain that's coming. Scoffers are going to mock the return of Jesus, and it's not going to be something coming from the sky, but someone. Jesus is coming, and his judgment is coming with him. It was interesting here recently, and not trying to get all political at this point, but an MSNBC host made a statement here the other day, and it's kind of, you know, kind of got out there on the internet a lot, social media a lot, and this MSNBC host made this statement talking about Christians here in America, and it was in a scoffing tone, right? And here's what she said. These Christians, they think their rights come from God, not from the state, not from Congress, not from the government. Can you believe that? And you just wanted to say, excuse me? Have you read the Declaration of Independence? How about the Bill of Rights? These unalienable rights come to us from our Creator. This is the beauty of the United States of America. It's what made America great. How many of you hear what I'm saying? This is history. Our history is replete with leaders who believed in a God who gave us rights. And all mankind was endowed with those rights because of God. And now that's being scoffed in our society. Hard to believe. Look at this one. Jude chapter 1. Well, actually, there's only one chapter of Jude. So it's Jude verse 17, right? But you, beloved, great words here. Take heart here on these words. Listen to them closely. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How they told you there'd be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, listen to what he's going to say, because this is our response, right? This is our response to these who scoff in our day and time and would make fun of us. And there will be those. And it will increase. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. How many of you are building yourselves up in a daily basis? You have a rhythm in your life of building yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. How many of us are praying in the Holy Spirit? Keep yourselves in the love of God. How many of us are checking to make sure daily we're kept in the love of God? Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some, listen to these words, very interesting here. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear. Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now, isn't that interesting how that passage ends? Some powerful stuff there, right? Really powerful stuff. On some people have compassion, and on others save them with fear. You ever known anybody that quite honestly, they got saved and it was sincere and it was real, but they got saved because they were afraid to go to hell. They were afraid of the judgment of hell. There's some of us in the room, if we were honest, we came to the Lord because we were afraid of the judgment to come. And some have compassion, and in some save with fear. There's some people out there, let me tell you, compassion's not going to do it. Some people are going to have to hear, hey, I love you, but I'm concerned about your soul being eternally lost. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. Pray in the Spirit. Keep in the love of God. Look for the mercy of Jesus. Powerful stuff. Wow. And lastly, strategies. Psalm chapter 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. It's a very prophetic psalm. It's referenced more than once in the book of Revelation itself. Very interesting stuff. Nations rage, peoples plot, kings set, rulers counsel together. Notice, against God and against his anointed. They break bonds in pieces. They cast their cords away from us. We're living in a day and a time, guys, where it's popular to get rid of Christian morals. It's popular to cast off all Judeo-Christian values and consider them, you know, passé. Those no longer apply to us. These are the strategies that are being conceived and implemented against God, against Christ, against God's people. I mean, you hear what I'm saying? Listen, please understand, right? This is, I'm not talking about right versus left, Democrat versus Republican, conservative versus liberal. Here's how I'm going to frame it, okay? It's darkness against light. And that battle is raging in our world today. Some time back, there was a precious teacher in Maine who was ordered to stop using religious phrases like, I'm praying for you. She was reprimanded by the school department and told that she couldn't even use a phrase like blessing. Even in private conversations at the school with other members of the faculty that went to the same church as her. You got to rid that out of your vocabulary. You can't be talking about blessings. You can't be talking about praying for one another. And then, of course, we all remember, right? The drag queen story hour, the Brooklyn Public Library, Saturday story time for children. And here's the headlines of the library publication. Drag queen story hour captures the imagination and play of the gender fluidity in childhood and gives kids glamorous, positive, and unabashedly queer role models. You sent your child to the library and they come home going, Mommy, I want to be a drag queen. What? This is happening in the land of the free and the brave? It sure is. Prayer and blessing are out. Drag queen story hour is in. Do I need to go back to that first verse? There's some deceiving spirits at work in this nation. Would you say yes to that? Godlessness happens because of the behind-the-scenes strategies that are conceived and implemented by the kingdom of darkness against God and Christ and his people. This is a battle, folks. We're living in a battle zone. God's response, back to Psalm 2, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I've set my king on my holy hill of Zion. And then it goes on. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you're my son. You're my son. This is Christ's response. Today I've begotten you. Ask of me. This is the Lord. Yes. And I will give you the nations for your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and you shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. And then God's warning. Look at God's warning. Now therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all who put their trust in him. This is no time to be ignorant of the strategies that are being conceived and implemented in our day against God and against his church, against his bride. But we've got to remember who's on the throne and that judgment is coming. And we've got to serve the Lord with fear. We've got to rejoice with trembling. We've got to kiss the Son. Amen. Trust God. No time for cluelessness. We've got to love, worship, and serve God and have no misplaced trust. Our trust needs to be fully, fully in the Lord. Five things I've shared with you: seduction, stress, sorrow, scoffers, and strategies. In the midst of this, is God doing anything? Is God doing anything? I'm closing, folks. Here we go. Here's what he's doing. Get ready. In all caps. How you like that? And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And all my men servants and my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. And I'll show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's pouring out his spirit. God's gifting people supernaturally. God is showing signs all around us of Christ's soon return. So I end with this. What am I doing? What are you doing? Let's just go through it real quick. Are we being diligent to study God's word so as to not be seduced or deceived? Is that a daily part of your routine and your rhythm? Are you posturing yourself in such a way to receive the power of God that you might live a transformational life? Are you being the heart and the hands of Jesus to others in these sorrowful times? Are you building yourself up, praying, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for mercy, having compassion, and saving with fear? Are you aware of the strategies of the enemy and working and serving against them? Are you positioning yourself to receive the Spirit of God and to operate in the supernatural gifts, prophecies, dreams, and visions? And are you leading people to Jesus? This is what we need to be doing in the midst of our current cultural confusion. Amen, church? Let's seek to be a humble, courageous, loving, and truth-filled people for God's glory. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, let deep conviction settle in our hearts that these are the most important days and times to be alive, and you've called and chosen us to be alive in this time and to make a difference and to live by your truth and to hold on and to hold fast and to proclaim and to be bold and to be bold like a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no one pursues. God, help us to be bold. Help us to be courageous. Help us to be your people, anchored in your truth, living out through the power of your spirit all that you've called us to do and be in this hour. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Would you stand with me?